Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's Ramon Foster, everybody. Look at that.
Hi.
He's all beaming over there. He's got his Tennessee orange, and he knows that it's 1 week until Roger Goodell starts dishing out hugs.
It is, man. We're probably about, what is it? We're about 3 hours away from the first pick, maybe a little bit earlier than that, man.
It's coming real, real soon. I can feel it.
You know what, though? It's been a while. If they're on the clock a week away, we might as well get on the bell.
I see how it goes.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I see. All right, let's go ahead and do that then.
Here we go.
He is Ramon Foster of the Ramon Foster Show. Also, 11-year starting guard in the National Football League. All 11 of those with the Pittsburgh-based franchise known as the Steelers. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. Just flew in from New York, and as the joke goes, boy, are my arms tired.
Hey, you'll be all right, man. I was told somebody blew the horn at you outside, I think. So, hey, whoever
you hear that? The horn,
I did hear that. I see something that's somewhat hilarious, man. Not hilarious, but I think our resident Pitt fan, Jake, man, saying we need a good show. It's been a rough week for Pitt football, P-I-T-T football.
I'll take his word for that. I'm not sure what he's referring to.
I think they've been torched by the transfer portal is what I saw.
Okay, I see how it goes.
Amateur free agency, basically.
Before we get to the obvious subject matter for the day, and we will, as to who the Steelers are going to take, the first question that I have for you, yeah, Mr. Foster, is who is it and why did they decide that Roger Goodell was going to hug people? Like, the other commissioners don't do that, okay? I mean, it became, not only does he do hugs, but he does these big bro-like man bear type of hugs.
I think it started organically, then it became a thing.
Who hugged him first, though?
It was a big guy. I forget who it was. I do remember the story coming out. It was a big dude that bear hugged him like crazy. And after that, everybody decided to do it. It was a big, I'm not sure who it was, but that was a story, if I'm not mistaken, of how it happened. And then it turned into a TV event. And then, of course, you get the hug, you get the jersey, you smile. It's just like the same way, like before, heck, what was it? Before the 2000s, nobody was really wearing very gaudy jewelry. You know, like the players, you see the big watches with all the diamonds, the chains in it. You see all kind of stuff like that. That became a thing because it was a part of the TV broadcast and guys mimic that type of stuff. And truthfully, I think Roger Goodell is somewhat making it a thing now too, to hug guys. It is one of those moments. If you get drafted in the first round, you get to walk that stage. You probably don't know what to do with your hands. You don't,
I was just going to say, you're ready to do anything at all.
What am I supposed to do? Oh, there's a person I'm supposed to hug. Yeah, yeah, that's probably what you do right there.
You're in a pretty good mood if you've been taken on the first day when the commissioner's calling the picks.
Only 13 guys going up for the draft, though, this year. To what city are they in? Detroit? I think it's only 13 guys, which is a smaller number, but it'd be hard to go up there if I wasn't sure if I was going to be a top 10er or even a top 15, because that's a long wait, DK. That's a long wait.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, especially the ones who are kind of like in that Joey Porter Jr. area where he was exactly 32, but 32 last year happened to be in the second round, so he was a second-day pick, even though he was a 32, which seems a little bit cruel, but look, he's doing okay with it. Let's talk about who the Steelers will take first this year. Before we get to a name, though, let's hit up a position here before anything else.
All right, talk to me. What do you want? A position in general?
I keep looking at these, and as we get closer, you know how these things start to feel like they're more crystallized, but also your own thoughts are more crystallized.
Yeah.
And the more that I keep going with this, this is not a preference. I've made very clear my preference for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But all those offensive tackles.
I know.
I just can't. And you've been on this from the day you set foot on the field in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. You've been all like, DK, offensive tackles.
That's a lot of
offensive tackles.
It is a lot. I got three hot positions.
Let's go.
You got one. I got three. I'm sure when I mention my other two, you're going to be like, yep, I agree with you. One is the one you said, wide receiver. I think it's an uber important that you get a dude. There's no replacement right now for Deontay. I hate to discredit George like that, but George is he's a one of one in that room right now. Pickens, right? Like, he's a one of one as far as like pressure to make plays, pressure to lead, and pressure to just grow.
And pressure to generate splash, which with your head coach is a very real and specific pressure.
Very much so, man. The other position is offensive line. And I got two positions. You said position group. I give you the group. Offensive line, that will be center and tackle. Easily, hands down. Either one of those positions right there. At 20, you can pick either a tackle or you can either pick a center and still feel okay about the value pick that you're getting at that spot right there, DK. That's where I'm at on either one of those. And the third one, probably corner. At 20, with the run that's going to happen on tackles. The run is going to happen on wide receivers. The run is going to happen on quarterbacks. You will have some high quality as far as the draft grades go. Corners at that position right there, DK. You got it, 20 is a real good spot this year because it's so front end heavy this year.
And as you've pointed out on the show many times, it's not really 20 because you have X number of quarterbacks, including the top three spots. You have Marvin Harrison who. You know, you have another wide receiver. His name is from
and Malik Nabers from LSU.
Yes,
and Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU.
So but especially with the quarterbacks, you kind of cut those off the list. You've mentioned that before because you're not drafting a quarterback in the first round if you're the Steelers. So you're really getting the 15th or 16th, maybe higher, best player in the draft. Out of the positions that you would realistically take from. And I keep thinking about offensive tackle. I keep thinking about Arthur Smith and the way he wants to have the bigs and the bads down there field. And then I keep thinking to when you mentioned, this was again from Mobile, Alabama, you went, Amarius Mims. He looks like he eats people.
He does, man. I've been reading a good bit of this stuff right here. I see it coming up. Mims. I see it. Mims, UGA, baby. Like, I'm seeing all of this. I read an article today, man, from a guy that does stuff around the league, man. Ty Dunn is his name. He did some stuff in Pittsburgh, all types of stuff. And he released an article speaking about Mims. One of his staff did release an article talking about Mims and said, this is how scouts view him. Probably could be the best all-pro tackle in this doggone draft. Yeah, lack of tape we've talked about. Yeah, the tightrope surgery on the ankle. But then he started mentioning like a little small in between the webs type stuff too. From a small town, jumped in the portal at Georgia, jumped out 2 weeks later. Don't really have a vast amount of tape as far as how you evaluate him. But boy, when you look at his size, I think he's got the biggest hands in the draft, the longest arms in the draft. He moves like a big dancing bear. But it's the absence of things that you need to prove that he's that good. Now, here's the thing about a guy like him. He go to a football-centric city, Pittsburgh. He goes to a team that has an establishment of trying to create a culture, Pittsburgh, somewhat young, let him grow. Coach Pat Meyer been one of those guys. By the way, I told you, I had a conversation with a guy that spoke very highly of Coach Meyer. It's like the stuff, like good. He's a good teacher.
Good.
He's a really good teacher. And if you get, as you said right here, Jim Mowry, freak athlete with raw potential and upside, I think you have this also with a guy like Marius Mims. You got a guy on the other side, potentially, in Broderick Jones, that can somewhat challenge him and show him the way, too. I think if you sometimes match teammates together, whether it be by separate years, i.e. Marquise Pouncey, Marcus Gilbert, we got the best out of Gilbert because there was a pressure of watching Pounce perform and Gil fell in suit right behind that, too. And I give credit to Gil, too. But when you have somebody that knows you from the same place that you are, you feel that added pressure of saying, I got to hold up my end, too, for my university. There is absolutely no question whatsoever. The best athlete in this thing, to me at tackle, the best athlete, Amarius Mims.
See, here's the thing, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, have a long tradition of doing this, where they will take the clay, they will take the raw material, and especially when you're that young, Mims is 21 still, okay,
and you just turned 21, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, listen. We're not in any hurry here, okay? If we believe that we have something that can be molded into, just going to throw out the extreme example here for the fun of it, Jonathan Ogden,
yeah.
Okay?
I mean, seriously, that's how he's thought of.
Because that's what Ogden was. Ogden would he just existed. That's not to say he wasn't a good football player and everything else. He was obviously great at everything, okay? But Ogden was just so massive that you didn't have a counter for it. Your head coach has loved that forever, and they will take the clay. They did it with Lamar Woodley, just to give you a different position and a different dynamic. They didn't care that Lamar didn't come from a 3-4 and whatever else. They just said, listen, we're not worried about what you played in college. We're worried about what kind of football player you are.
Yeah,
and they did that. They did it to an extent with Alex Highsmith.
Mm-hmm. I saw Lawrence Timmons in there.
LT was another good example. They just knew that LT, as a physical specimen, as a human, could do things that other people can't do.
You want to hear the story? I'm going to let you finish real quick before I forget.
I'm done.
You want to know the story behind Lawrence Timmons, though, too?
Let's hear it.
Very young, coming out, 20 years old. Pounce was 20 years old. I think Woodley was 20 years old. Coach T has a thing for those guys. You know what the thing was around Lawrence Timmons was? Get him out of college. Get him out of college so we can train him up to be a pro.
Okay.
To your point about the clay, right? That's your point, is get him young enough to where you can train them to be a pro. That was Lawrence Timmons. The story was around him. The same was with Marquise. Also, get him out of college early and make them become pros quicker. So I got two pushbacks, though, DK. And you know I don't really do this often, man. We usually agree a lot as far as the clay situation goes, right? Here's the two pushbacks I have on grabbing an Amarius Mims and molding them. One, you mentioned we got a culture that does that, right? Having time. Oh, we're not drafting for right now. We're drafting for down the line. My question is this, though, DK, of one of my points is this. All right, I'll go to the second point first. Second point is this. Where's the maturity in the room to help mold him? That's my biggest question with Amarius. I love him, and I would take him. But where – so the thing that LT had, he had Ferrier, right? He had foot for a minute. He had Debo. He had all those old players on defense to say, young fella, this is how we play here.
That's right. Right? That's
right. Had that.
This is a good point.
That's the only question I have about Amarius Mims being young and being moldable and being clay. The second point I have is this. There was an outside hire this year for offensive coordinator. I'm not alluding to or suggesting anything, but I do think the clock on keeping the job and performing may be a little bit tighter than we think. So do you have time as a coach to say, and I don't know what Mr. Rooney and I'm going to do. I don't. These are just questions I have when we're talking about what does Pittsburgh need to do right now? Do they need to compete in 2024, like right now as I snap my fingers again? Mm-hmm. Or do they have time to grow? Because Russ still has to prove it. And Justin Fields also has to prove it. And also, some of the doggone moves that Omar has made. I'm with you on Siamalo also. But here's the thing. Do you have time to build this thing back up? How many resets does a coach usually get, DK, is what I'm asking.
It depends. Yeah, positional coaches. But there's also – this is agreeing with your broader point. I don't know that this team has forever to be contending with the – guys who are on the other side of the ball with a Cam Hayward, you know, with the peak version of TJ Watt, with the peak version of Minkah Fitzpatrick. I don't know that you want to take a first round pick that you consider to be a project. Broderick Jones comes along, same position. And even though Broderick had played a lot of football, unlike Mims, and Broderick wasn't seen really by anybody as somebody who would take a long time, he still didn't get onto the field right away.
Yeah.
Now, my counter to your counter. And no one's going to like this.
Okay, let me hear. I like this type of show. Come
on. Okay. Yeah. Is it Dan Moore has a lot of those qualities, that leadership type qualities. He's involved. He's engaged. I've seen some of the other names that people are putting up here. James Daniels is not that guy.
No.
Isaac Seumalo, he's a leader in his own way, but he's not vocal. He's not here. Cody here says it himself here. He's more of a quiet guy, and that is true. Isaac keeps to himself right up until the night before week 17. Okay? That's what he did, actually, this year.
Yeah.
He stayed quiet. He absorbed, you know, and then he got right to the big game. Then all of a sudden, he's standing in front of the room, and everybody's like, who's this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Moore has that in him. Unfortunately for Dan, you're putting him yet again into a position where he'd be competing with his kid. He's probably going to get tired of training his successors.
He is. Or just continue to beat him out like I did. It's a little
He did too.
Yeah, like he did also, man. Those are my biggest issues with that, though. I think and if we're going to really sit back and just throw diversions, though, DK.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to go offensive line, the best answer to me is probably going to be center, though.
Okay.
Jackson's Power Johnson's is, for the most part, everybody's number one. At 20?
At center.
At center, yes.
At 20, he's not.
Yeah.
You don't see him at 20 as often.
No, you don't. But if you feel like we're trying to compete right now, you know Jackson's Power Johnson is the type of guy that can snap the ball, play well, big, can hold his own at the point. He's a good athlete. Got plenty of tape underneath him, too. I think I've seen people drop Graham Bart name also DK in this world. And both are somewhat similar. I'm taking Jackson Powers Johnson over Graham just on the basis of I've seen him. I've seen what his practice ethic looked like. I've seen what he is as a player on tape. I like him a whole lot better than I do the other guys that are involved in this exercise right here, DK. And then he also be somewhat – changing of a position too, because as it stands, Graham Barton is listed as a tackle. He's an NFL, again, projectable interior guy. So what is that also having you do? Build guys up. That's having you also train a guy, right?
Yes.
So you go get a true center is the way I look at it, DK.
Every time we talk about projects or training guys, you can just feel it as people are listening to us going, oh, man, no. We want somebody playing right now.
You got to wait on that gratification. That's what it is. But that's also a team. That's also just where you are as a franchise right now, too. Like, yeah, you made the playoffs, but you got to think you lost your franchise quarterback because he was pouting. You also lost Mason through free agency. You got two new quarterbacks inside the building right now, and you got a very young offensive line. We are simply in a rebuild. Say it. Rebuild.
Reload?
This
is going to be rebuild. Like my dog and dog thing where you say rebuild and I type reload on the screen. Guys, when we come back, we're going to get into the only segment that matters.
And that's, hey, Mom, we got some good stuff.
Yeah, we actually do.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. If you'd like to become a member of the Ramon Foster Show, you can do that by typing in dkps.net/join.
Yay. Absolutely.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. It's that simple.
There's nothing else to it here. Mark Lancaster wants to know, hey, Moan, what if there's a quarterback at 20? Do the Steelers really trust developing Justin Fields for the future?
In my opinion, Mark, that's hustling backwards. You need somebody right now that's going to make plays for you. If these two dudes, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, aren't the guy, go draft him the next year, because it probably means you probably had a bad year anyway. You may actually get a top 10 pick. Like, what year was it? 04 that you got a top 10 pick? 11, I mean.
Yeah, he was 11.
Yeah, the thing about that, Mark, is this. Picking a quarterback at 20, probably not. You don't pick a project guy at 20 the way you did with Kenny Pickett to begin with. Remember? Like, mm-hmm. To me, I just think it's hustling backwards. Again, can you stomach, and I've asked this before, as a fan of this franchise, having a sucky year? Like, I'm talking about, like, really bad, like six wins. Answer that question for me, Mark, and come back to me. Can you stomach that?
Yeah, Mark will lie and say, yeah, I'm all right with that. Steven says, hey, Moan, I feel like we've put ourselves in a position of having to draft a center in the first. If you draft any other position, you have to give up draft capital to trade up for Zach Frazier in the second. I see what he's saying. Zach Frazier's not on most people. The center out of West Virginia is not on most people's first round board.
No.
But he also doesn't necessarily last to the 20th slot in the second round either. No. So the presumption that Steven is making here, I think, without speaking for him, is that Jackson Powers Johnson does go, like you've been saying, first.
Yeah.
And then Zach Frazier becomes your next best option.
Yeah, and of course, there becomes a run on him. Then the moment Jackson Powers Johnson is taken, immediately the late first or even in the second, I don't think anybody in the late first is going to need him, but that second round is going to be heavy. You'll see the same thing happen with tackles. You'll see the same thing happen with cornerbacks and wide receivers. Once they start coming off the board, it's a trend. Other teams get nervous and say, well, we got to get ours too.
Good one here from John. He says, hey, Moan, will Omar Khan only draft players who came in for visits? For anybody who doesn't know this, there's only 30 of those. 30 of them. So yeah. Let me rephrase that. There's 30, what they call, there's a certain formal type of visits, but if a player is in your area or in your region, the way, for example, Kenny Pickett was. And now we just mentioned Zach Frazier. Zach Frazier visited the Steelers, but he didn't do it as an official visit that counted, because West Virginia University in Morgantown, just right down the road, is considered to be in the Steelers region.
Yeah, it is. The same way James Conner's situation was, too.
Same way.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes, John, I say this often. I say it in a joking way, but it's so true. And DK, I'm going to say it, and you know it's true. A lot of these NFL teams, they accumulate information like the CIA. They just want to know what gets you to tick. We've sat in meetings or been around. It's like, man, in our meeting with this guy, this was said. Like, that's essentially what it is. They may have a guy on their radar that they just know so much about already because of the campus visit, pro days on campuses, or met them at the combine. You don't have to draft the 30 guy also.
Jim Mowry says, hey, Moan, people keep talking about Amarius Mims' upside and his freakish athletic nature. Aren't those the same things that were said about Chukwuma Okorafor?
You, Jim, Chuk's also got a second contract from your team.
He did, and made a lot of money.
And also got a decent contract to go up to New England after having bad press about him. Tukes has delivered on his end. Not to the caliber that you want him to be, but he got a second deal out of it. I think mission was accomplished, and you got a good bit out of Tukes.
Mark says, hey, Moen, what do you think is the bigger risk, projecting Barton as a 6'5 center or Mims' lack of tape? That's really good. Barton's name, I got to tell you, with our live chat that's going on here concurrently with this program, Barton's name is all over it, Moen.
Yeah, I know.
6'5 center.
Yeah, but you got to train him to play center.
Right, exactly. Do you trust that?
I move him to guard. He's not, in my opinion, he's not an NFL tackle. He probably can play it in the spot, but his feet are a interior guy. Now, again, we dealt with snap issues before with Kendrick Green, right?
Well, I'm Mason Cole, too, but Mason I'm throwing that Cole. In parentheses.
Give me the guy that is position specific. Let's not overthink this one this year, man. Like, I don't want to fit dudes into spots that they're not that strong at. Like, give me the dudes that actually play that. They're smart enough to break down the offense already. Tackles, for the most part, they live on their island. They do their own thing for the most part. You got some really smart ones in this world, but as far as getting to the line of scrimmage, holding the ball, making the mic point, knowing just as much as the quarterback, the center has groomed himself all their lives to do those types of things. I don't want to play around with a guy who's a tackle. He's got to learn how to snap and step, snap and pass pro, and also move position. Like, that's a lot to ask right there.
Fat Cat comes in, and I got to tell you, Moen, my Daily Shot podcast that I do on our channel, I brought this subject up. Oh, my God, did I get voted off the island?
Did you?
Oh, this was the least popular concept I've ever raised on the Daily Shot shows. Hey, Moen, Fat Cat asks, do you think the Steelers should or could bring Cam Sutton back as a corner? For those who don't know this, and a lot of people who heard my show, they didn't know this, but nothing came of the Cam situation. Okay, there was a misdemeanor that was pressed against him. Everything else was instantly dropped. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't do anything wrong. It also doesn't mean that somebody else didn't do anything wrong. But it means that that's what the evidence is at hand that we have. So that was the only way that I brought this up was, look, if it was conditional, if the Steelers and, you know, Jack the cleaner and everybody else over there who handles these situations, if they were to just do their own work on this and then communicate with NFL security and they find out that Cam is fine, you know, that's all I brought up. Oh, my God. It was as if there were flame balls raining from the heavens.
Yeah, you know what? I kicked the tires on it because you're getting him for cheap. He's got to go prove
real
it.
Real
you know
cheap.
He can play.
NFL again, minimum.
I'm going to say this. You've bought jerseys of people who've done crazier things and cheered for them.
You have done that, actually. Okay. We don't even need to name the names.
Numerous players.
Look, violence. Nobody on this show, and I'm sure nobody who's watching this is going, yeah, man, domestic violence. That's awesome. This is conditional. That's what I'm suggesting here is if you find out that, hey, this wasn't that bad or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. You know, that's all that's being said here.
Crazy, right? Yeah. I'll just leave that right there. We'll
see.
Yeah,
it's probably a good place to leave it.
Yeah.
It is. William says, hey, Moen, did you hear that Deshaun Watson was saying that the Steelers defense is trash in his interview on a podcast? I didn't hear that.
Hey, Will, hey, hear me out, my brother. He's supposed to say that. You feel me? I call their defense trash. If he said that, well, one, hell, he got to play for him when he playing the Steelers, okay? That's number one. Other one, did he actually beat Pittsburgh, or was it the backup quarterback that beat Pittsburgh whenever we played the Browns?
I mean, yeah, what was it about? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, he's supposed to say that. I love a little hate in sports, okay? You ask me how I feel about the Browns.
Yeah, James Galloway was referring to the reaction to my bringing up Cam Sutton like I farted in a church. You know, I've never even heard that before. That's actually really funny here. Mark Cunningham says it was the timing of it. Yeah, the timing of it was that I mentioned it the morning after everything was reduced to a misdemeanor. And I don't think most people knew as they were listening to that particular show. Yeah, so it was like, ah, what are are you talking about? He's on the run. He's a fugitive. And none of that was true at that point.
Yeah. And also the story broke also about Cam Sutton. He found out that he was wanted while at the Detroit Lions facility. He wasn't hiding.
Oh, that's hiding in plain sight. He was working
out. Yeah, he was working out in the office. He's like, what, I'm wanted? Yeah, there's more to it. Again, hit an article or two.
Really funny.
Yeah, he didn't know.
There's some irony in that, too. If you're going to hide in the football world, hide with the Detroit Lions. Rick says, hey, Moan, would you feel better trading? Oh, I love this question. Would you feel trading for a proven wide receiver instead of one taking one in the second round? You played with I'm a Swede,
yeah.
second-round wide receiver who never panned out. They also had second-round wide receivers who did pan out.
Six-rounders.
And they had a sixth-rounder who really panned out. Rick says he can't afford a bust. But what about that? To me, that's one of the central issues of this draft.
DK, all I want from I want Rick to ask me exactly what he wants. Because you know what he wants?
Mm.
He wants Brandon Ayuk.
He does.
That's all this is. That's what he wants.
That's all this is about.
Yeah. Now,
the only name that's coming up anywhere, except from the 49ers camp, where they keep insisting, no, man, we're not doing
they're
that.
They're supposed
not,
to.
Yeah. No, yeah. They're really insisting.
I know. They're supposed to say because that keeps their value high. So here's the thing. I saw her in Nashville, the Tennessee Titans trade full of Jerry Snead, who Kansas City was on the table saying, we want a second
round. Yeah.
They got a third. You see what I'm saying? So that's why. So you're negotiating right now against them on what pick you're willing to give up. This team's not suited right now to give up a first-round pick for Ayuk. If you can take that thing down to a two or to a three, Rick, I'll live that life with you. Like, yeah, give me him. I think that brings a little bit more balance and competition between George and Ayuk if a trade is made. But you also got to give up money.
Yeah, DeMond is more in the trade camp. He says we do not need to – do that to get a wide receiver. We need to draft one. My problem with that concept in and of itself, without getting into who the individual player would be and everything, is now you've got a couple of really young guys that are taking the field for you every down. And that's a tough place to be. And by the way, Calvin Austin taking the field with them isn't going to exactly up your veteranosity factor. Okay, you've got Van Johnson, you've got others that are going to be in the mix that are going to be a little older, but you know how that goes. They don't get on the field. They don't have that same voice.
Yeah, it's a little different. They do, I will say this too, and it's a little bit of a challenge. They do need somebody offensively, DK, a wide receiver, that's going to scare you. You got a possible right now inside that building, and that's George Pickens. Who else scares you in that room? And what one possible? Oh, I'm beating you up all day long. You better run that ball to the tune of 5 yards a carry is what I'm telling you, because none of those guys scare me right now.
See, Cal can scare you. You just got to figure out ways to spring him. You got to figure out ways to get him some open grass. You know, we did see a couple examples of that last season. You know what I'm talking about, the throw across the middle play. What are you owing about over there?
Because I witnessed in Seattle, Russell Wilson throw two. Not DK. Who's the other wide receiver there? What is his friggin' name? Baldwin, not Baldwin. Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
Lock it. That was actually the first thank you, Jim. Up, yeah. Thank you, Jim. Jim put it up there. I witnessed Russell Wilson live in a world where he finds a way to free up that fast scat wide receiver. Like Lockett, if you're talking about Calvin. You got to think, that's the offense you're somewhat catering to, in a sense, is Russell Wilson?
Yes.
You would almost think it's smart to mimic the good things that happened with Russ in Seattle, right? With Arthur Smith?
I just want Brandon Ayuk. I don't care where else this conversation goes. I'm totally in that camp.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Clarence comes in and says, hey, Moan, the Steelers probably get either a tackle or a center in the first two rounds. Are there any plug-and-play types, seeing that Mike Tomlin usually doesn't like to start rookies?
Yeah, Jackson Powers Johnson.
Plug-and-play.
Plug-and-play. That's, to me, at 20, after Mim, Joe
Mims Hall, no, though. Mims no.
Nah.
You're not putting him out there with eight college games.
No. Again, you use Dan to get the guy trained up until he's ready. That's what it'll be if you get Amarius Mills. The plug and play dude, day one, is Jackson Powers Johnson.
Maybe that's where this will all end up too. Maybe, because you know what's funny? Here's how these conversations go every year at the draft. Unless you've got like a position that you're locked in on, the way the Steelers were with Najee Harris, for example, and everybody knew for months it was going to be Najee, is that you see the conversation goes over here. Oh, it's got to be a center. Has to be a center. Absolutely. And then we go, yeah, but we got 2 months of conversation to kill. So then it kind of slides over here. And then it's over here. And then somebody else has a mock draft that says, whoa, we weren't thinking of that. And guess what? The day before the draft, it all comes right back up to here.
It does. It does. David Smith brings up a good one, DK. Spice Creations also said, Calvin can't beat you, didn't have a quarterback and get the deep ball. And an offense that can call it, too. David Smith got a solid one I like, too. The height thing, I'd much rather throw that one. Nobody questioned Drew Brees when it came down to it. Russell has played efficiently with tall players at the offensive line. You know how they supplement that, though, David? Dropping back deeper. Russell, look at his tape.
And he moves.
And he moves.
He creates his own sight lines. He's always done that. Going back to his earliest days in Seattle. Actually, going back to college.
Yeah.
Russell, he's always able to find a way. That's the only time vision affects you. If you're, I'm going to predate myself with this reference here, but if you're a Kent Graham type, Kent Graham, 20 years ago, Steelers quarterback, 6'5", he could just see over everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, he didn't have to move, which was good because he couldn't.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? And again, you question that, and I'm not going at you, David, but here's the thing. Russell Wilson has over 43,000 passing yards. He know how to see over the offensive line, okay? It's my only contingency to that, pushback to that.
Exactly. Guys, when we come back, we're going to take care of a little bit of business here.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we're going to do this in plain sight, okay? And we're going to do it right in front of everybody. We're going to talk about next week's plan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's do it.
All right? Because that's all we would do when the show ends now anyway.
It is. So
I can tell you that I don't have, for all this crazy traveling that I've been doing over the past 6 weeks, the Penguins are now eliminated. And I just got back from New York doing 3 baseball games, and I did a doubleheader yesterday. The Pirates versus Mets, and then went 19 miles down the road and did Penguins versus Islanders. Wow. But all that's over. And I don't leave anywhere traveling for a month until I go to Milwaukee.
Look at you. This somewhat creeps up a little bit for me. What do you want to do, Thursday, Friday? Before it's the draft?
Show. And your show.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday. We can do that.
How about let's throw in a Wednesday?
I'm cool with that, too.
Because that's the day before. And we'll have a chance to really go over the most recent information and everything trades, else here.
Possibly. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. How does that sound, everybody? Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then you also mentioned to me that you wanted to do one the following Monday, remember?
Yeah, absolute recap over the weekend. And I got only one suggestion for that.
What's that?
I got one request for that. For a Monday show. Unless there is a dramatic fall of a prospect somewhere, like a Tavondre Sweat who falls and goes undrafted, I ain't going to have no answer for y'all draft gurus on free agents. Okay? The undrafted guys, and I'm an undrafted guy. If they're undrafted, I probably don't know a lot about them.
Yeah, so that's going to be tough. I ain't going
to have no answers there.
Yeah, okay? That's going to be tough. That's true of anybody. I mean, look, you get to know them eventually. You get to know the other guy on this show. You get to know Jaylen Warren. You get to know James Harrison. You get to know the guys that, you know, they come along and they play. But that's more of a training camp story than it is than anything else.
It is. We got to see those types of dudes, man. So that's the only question. That's the only request I have for Monday draft recap is, please don't ask him about the undrafted, respectfully, as an undrafted.
So one more time, we will be here next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yep.
And the following week, Monday, and then our usual Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deal?
Yeah.
All right.
Deal. Right here. Look at that right there. Yeah, me. Any balls player that might go undrafted we should watch for? Yeah, me. I'm going undrafted.
I love it. All right, guys. Let's do it again. Let's do it again next Wednesday. All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
See you.